experience.
Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
What's up, fellas? Can you hear me?
What's going on, Jimmy? Hey,
we are officially ready to talk some sports. Sadly, we don't know if the GOAT of the podcast, JQ, is going to join, but if not, we will have to continue on. So, again, the month of May is just coming by, and get ready to get ready for Memorial Day and all that fun stuff, and this is what we do. So let's get this party started, as always. We got to check in with my compadres for this great edition. I'm going to start with Mr. Asparagus Ford. Rob, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Going good, man. Had two doses of asparagus today, man. So we in good shape.
Why am I not surprised? Jerry, how you doing this evening, sir?
Go ahead. Jerk chicken with lunch and some shrimp with dinner with the asparagus.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good.
There's no worries.
You know, I'm doing good, so I'm going to give a helpful hint to our viewers, to you guys. Don't worry about a will. Don't get a will. If you want to set up your family the correct way, get living trusts. Go to your mortgage company, get a living trust that this mortgage goes to so-and-so. Go to the bank, and this savings account goes to so-and-so. It's a lot less, if there's no hassle there, then it's done, and it's a set deal. If you have a will and something happens, then it can really be an ordeal, an expensive ordeal. So living trust is how you want to do that. And I would also do that when you're talking with your managers at work. You know, that's something that could help out the Delta people. So, Rob, if you're there at work, have your manager say, hey, listen, look into that, because it may really help you out. So
that's
I would like to give out a little helpful
hint. The wheel was about to go.
No, it's not. We all did. You know, that was...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Gary.
We're not just a sports talk show. We
have a
will. A lot of lessons on our show. We talk about eating asparagus for health purposes, and now we got financial wellness from Gary, and set your family up for success. Okay, so we're more than just sports on our show here. So that's why you got to tune in every week, listeners.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. I know we talk about some life insurance stuff that we have, which is a whole other conversation, but that's interesting that, you know, we utilize that in a different format from what everyone uses, and not term life, but actually whole life. And then the situation that we have, that's you're kind of talking about wills as we speak, too. So it's crazy that you're saying not through that. So, yeah, interesting for living trust. Good stuff for sure.
And I'm doing great. So let's get this show going.
Here we go. The number to call the show is always, like we always do, call into the show. It's always the same signature, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman. You will find this in that arena as well. So we post a lot of things about mock drafts, NFL drafts, any pertinent news, fun stuff. We try to keep you guys engaged as always. So we're ready to get this party started. We have some interesting topics to discuss. And right out the gate, obviously NBA is going on, but we're going to talk some NFL because NFL is always king. So right out the gate, it looks like Terica Woodlum has reportedly has knee surgery, Rob. So I'm going to start with this and then kind of go around the horn because we've got a lot of things to discuss from that particular instance too. So we'll start with that, actually, Rob.
Yeah, kind of a freak injury too. Obviously, we know Tariq Woodlum. Fifth-round draft pick from Texas San Antonio, a rookie last season with the Seahawks, had a tremendous rookie season as a fifth-round Pro Bowler, as a fifth-round draft choice from small school Texas San Antonio. Had a phenomenal year, six interceptions, left the NFL on last season, walking onto the practice field for an OTA session and hurt his knee and required surgery. All indications are that he will be ready for training camp. So the Seahawks are very optimistic that he'll be ready to go for the start of the season. But definitely kind of a freak injury for them and definitely a scare for them and that organization, especially losing a big-time player like that. But like I said, all indications are he'll be ready for training camp and ready for the start of the season.
Well, what I would say on that is, you know, this kid is – 6'4", 210. You know, he had 45 solo tackles along with those 6'6". So very, you know, very productive, you know, for the Seahawks. So I think that this kid is, as long as he's ready, I think he's going to be have multiple Pro Bowls under his belt. And, you know, he's that big cornerback that they like. You know, they like those guys like that. So good luck to him and speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Add that to everyone, too, as far as, you know, the Seahawks have always had kind of a signature as far as we're looking like, looking at as far as their players, too. So, you know, obviously tremendous talent. And like you said, Rob, it's kind of a freak injury. So if you're the Seahawks, hopefully you have enough depth to kind of get through that, too. Let's talk about some interesting things in the news and regarding the Jets. Now that they have fully established Aaron Rodgers as QB number one, I guess the question is, what do they do with Zach Wilson? And the good news is that, you know, I think maybe Aaron Rodgers is different in this stage of his career. Maybe he's more nicer, I guess, because he was not trying to help out Jordan Love at all. You know, maybe he's softened. Maybe he's been in the dark place. Maybe he wants to help, you know, Zach Wilson. But if you're Zach, I mean, this is interesting because, you know, you can kind of be hidden a little bit because you don't have the pressure on you at this time. So now you're probably assuming that Aaron's going to play for like 1 to 2 years. That gives him time to kind of obviously mature, if you will. But what say you, Gary? Do you think this is a good opportunity or do you think it's kind of like what do you kind of expect from Aaron Rodgers in this role? I don't think he's ever assumed the role of being a mentor for anybody, but maybe he's changed. I don't know. What say you?
Well, I don't think he's changed. If anything, I think he's seen. I don't think he saw Love as more of a threat. You know, he's watched Zach Wilson play, and he knows he's no threat to him. So he may be nice to him because of that. Or at least cordial to him. I don't even think he's just not that really – this doesn't appear to be – I don't know him personally, and we only see what we see through the media. But he doesn't appear to be that nice of a person anyway. So I don't expect him to turn cartwheels for anybody. As far as Zach Wilson and his future with the team, I'm not exactly sure what he makes. I didn't look that up. But trade him for a seventh-round pick maybe? Cut him. I wouldn't keep him. I think we've seen enough to know that this is what he's going to be. What do you think, Rob?
Well, you know, you need 2 to 3 quarterbacks on your roster, right? So I definitely don't think they're going to cut him or trade him just yet. I think they're going to keep him as a backup. And all indications are he's been filling in extremely well for Aaron Rodgers while Aaron Rodgers is out on a calf injury. Now, we all know it's just OTAs. I wouldn't get overly excited about it and things of that nature. And here's the thing, you know, this could work in a reverse kind of situation for Zach, right? You know, he gets to sit back and learn from a veteran. The pressure is off of him now. And maybe, just maybe, you know, that he could grow from this. The talent is there. I mean, that's why he was number two overall pick in the draft. There's no question his arm talent. He's got good enough mobility. So the talent is there. So that's the reason why he was drafted number two.
So was Ryan Leaf.
So I think, but Ryan Leaf didn't have it up here. I think that's just, you know, that's a big difference.
I don't think it's much of a difference.
Wow.
So here's the deal. I don't think the Jets are going to get rid of him just yet. I think they keep him as a backup in this situation. I think you got another 2 years to do another evaluation I forgot his name already. Zach Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah,
right. You see what I'm saying?
So you got another 2 years before you need to make a decision. Hey, are we going to pick up this fifth-year option or not? And I think at that point, that's when you make that final decision on Zach Wilson. Hey,
what does he make for a year? What is he making?
Well, he's number two overall pick in the draft, so I want to say he's probably making somewhere between $6 to $8 million a year. Let's look that up.
So with that said, depending on what he makes, that will be a key factor in whether or not they keep the guy.
$9 million. Almost $9 million a year.
Okay. You know, with
9.6 million this year in 2023.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
I think that right there will determine.
That's the thing.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to just compliment you and say, yeah, because I think it's interesting because, like Rob said, you're probably going to hold on to him for those 2 years, and then, you know, obviously you have a decision to make at the end of, like you said, for that fifth-year option. But he's a kid, man. He's not mature yet, and, you know, like you said, you can always get assets. So if he doesn't do his due diligence, hey, you know, you've paid your money. You redraft, you know. So, again, you're probably thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to play exactly with that amount of time, and then if he's grown or if he hasn't, you can kind of cut ties and kind of look for your next quarterback from that situation too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they keep him another 2 seasons. They make that decision if we're going to pick up a fifth-year option or not and kind of go from there. I mean, you look at this Jets depth chart right now. They lost Michael White to the Dolphins, I believe, right? Will be backing up Tua in Miami. So you got Aaron Rodgers, QB1. You got Zach Wilson, QB2. You want to know who the third stringer is if you get rid of Zach Wilson?
It's not Flacco, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Flacco?
It's Gary Schaefer.
I would dump him then.
No, in all seriousness. It's
Wilson's out there.
Tim Boyle. It's Tim Boyle.
Might as well be Gary Schaefer.
Exactly.
It's Gary Schaefer.
And then the fourth stringer is Andre Peterson.
Nice.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So you keep his Zach Wilson, in other words.
Well, you know what, $10 million, 9.6 at $10 million a year, that's an awful expensive clipboard holder. It really is.
Well, yeah, but you know, they're backup quarterbacks in the league. Well, you know, Gary, that's a good point, but you realize there's some backups in the league making $8 million a year. I mean, that's just how much there's value in a quarterback position, right? You look at Trey Lance, who's probably going to be – the backup in San Francisco. Let's look at his salary.
He was pretty high pick too.
He was number three overall. His contract was worth 4 years, $34 million. So that's over $8 million a year. And so, I mean, backup quarterbacks, there's just so much value in that position. You know, they're getting paid. I mean, And Aaron Rodgers is probably making $20 million, so that's almost $30 million for the Jets salary cap going to the quarterback position.
Yeah. All right, get a seventh-round pick.
But, Gary, this is the thing. Like I said, he's kind of young. You're going to know within – at least you know I've only spent X amount of dollars on this guy, and – you'll know something in those 2 years, whether to kind of extend him and or he has to mature, because he's just a young guy, honestly. You know, I'll do an analogy for you, okay, Andre?
You buy a car, and it keeps breaking down. It's just not performing for you, so you keep taking it back into the shop. You know, the U.S. government has a thing. It's called the Lemon Law, and that's where if it's, you know, if your car's not working, if it's breaking down, this sort of thing, and it happens, you know, 4 or 5 times, you can turn that car back in, get a full refund, and go purchase something else, okay? There should be a lemon law in the NFL. And if there were, you'd be trading him in.
Lemon law is that 4-year contract, but I get you. I like the analogy. I mean, like I said, at least you didn't drop 20, you know, well, you know, 30 million, something crazy like that too. But yeah,
right.
Fair enough. We'll see. Like I said, I'm not a fan of Zach Wilson, and I'm not like, you know, his agent, and I'm just saying too. I just really think he's young, but like, he has some talent. But you know, we'll see. You know, Jets have not been drafting quarterbacks well. And then you look at the Geno Smith. I mean, that dude took him like almost 10 years to kind of get to where he is now. So
he's still young, right?
This is one of those
Gannon, I mean, he was a late bloomer. Rich Gannon had started coming to his home in his late 20s, early 30s. Just remember Geno Smith. So, he was the number 2 pick in the draft. So, you know the talent is there. You don't get drafted number 2 overall if you don't have any talent.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not and picking up your NFL offense, you know, gelling with the team, gelling with the coaches, and becoming a leader at that position, which is important at the quarterback position. And sometimes it just takes a little. Hey, Trevor Lawrence is number 1 pick in the draft. His rookie season, he didn't have it, right? But he's starting to show signs now, right? And Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but even in that rookie season, you saw signs. You saw signs there of this guy's going to be good. He's got to get some time on his belt. This guy's going to be good. Which, you know, watching Zach Wilson, I don't think we saw too many signs like that. I think those are two completely different scenarios that are
I would agree
really
with you. We haven't seen the progression go up with Zach yet. So I would totally agree with you there. We haven't seen that yet. And so that is cause for concern. But, I mean, if I'm running that organization, I wouldn't totally ditch him just yet because you just invested so much into him right now, and you want to see you don't want to give up. You know, I think with the last week's show we went back and graded the 2020 draft, and really they always say you got to go back 3 years. So we haven't even hit the 3-year mark with Zach yet.
Yeah, good stuff. We're fighting for you, Zach. Now, well, we'll see. You got to damn mature, man, because he is not doing a good job. And it's interesting how no one's going to be like I showed you. I texted the group about Sauce Gardner because I still get Sports Illustrated, and it's interesting how, you know, he's been progressing, and that's kind of cool because you got Sauce. They're building a team good enough around Zach, and they just need a good quarterback play at this juncture. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, there are a lot of variables that go into these things, right? Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, you didn't see him start trending up until he got an offensive-minded head coach in Doug Peterson, right? He was not performing under Urban Meyer. And so, you know, he's got an offensive-minded so it could be the niche with the coaching. Maybe this could be a good thing for Zach being behind Aaron Rodgers, right? Maybe. Because, you know, Aaron is kind of a diva himself, but maybe this could be a good thing of learning from a veteran and seeing how you run an offense. And so we'll see what happens. So I'm not saying he's going to be a great quarterback. All I'm saying is this, it's too early to give up on him.
I will put a bow on this topic and say that I agree with Gary that, you know, again, Aaron Rodgers is very prickly, so I don't think he's doing his best mentorship by any means. He's going to have to basically kind of learn by observing Aaron. Aaron's not going to tell him anything, and as much as we hate Tom Brady came in like, you are not taking my job. He definitely was like, everyone's a threat. So that's what kind of made him kind of continue to be good, because he was like, I'm always on the edge. Like, I'm going to lose my job, which is incredible. But let's move on here. Let's talk about your Cowboys, Gary. And the next topic is all Cowboys. And the question is, are the Cowboys in a championship window? And if so, for how long? So this is an interesting situation because, you know, Cowboys, America's team. What does that look like as far as window-wise and kind of where you guys are at?
Well, I would have to say for the to represent the NFC, yeah, they're probably in that window. They're in the, you know, like in the NFL top, you know, 10. I think they're number 6 power ranking in the NFL. So any of those teams that really in that top 10 would be in that window. I'm going to have to do a wait and see how this pans out with McCarthy and see how his play calling is and what they do with that. But if you look at just what they did, you know, bringing in Brandon Cooks, you know, they brought in Dan Quinn brought in Mozzie Smith a couple of times. They ended up drafting him. Run stopper, that's what they needed. That was what their weakness is. They really liked that Schumacher, that tight end, overshown that linebacker. And, you know, the guy that I'm really interested in, the guys that I want to see how they – what they do is that Deuce Vaughn, that running back, that little guy that they can't see, and then he's gone. I want to see how they use him in the offense. Are they in that conversation in the NFC? Absolutely. Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco, I think those are the three teams in the top of the NFC, in my opinion, going into this season. Probably Philly being one. San Francisco, Dallas, you know, it can go either way. It's going to depend on, let's see what Dak can do, you know. But they're in that conversation. They can represent the NFC. They could be in the Super Bowl. If you're talking about the old thing, defense wins championships, they've got a defense that can win the championship. So let's just see how that offense gels. If that offense gels and they're a decent offense, that defense can shut down another team. So let's just see how they do. But right now, early on, I'm optimistic. We'll see how things go ahead of time. What do you say, Rob?
Yeah, I would agree. They definitely have an opportunity of some they get some breaks and some things bounce their way. When you look at the defense with Trayvon Diggs, who went out and made some pretty good moves this offseason, got Micah Parsons, who might be the best defensive player in the game, and Dak is 29 years old. So, yeah. I mean, I think they're younger. They have some key young players, and Dak is still young enough to where they have a window here in the next 5 to 6 years to stay competitive and kind of be in that realm, right? And now, obviously, Brandon Cooks is getting up there in age, but he can still stretch the defense. CeeDee Lamb is still fairly young as well. So they got – and Tony Pollard is young. So they got some key players that are still a very good age range for them to stay competitive here for the next 5 to 6 years. So will that bring a championship? I don't know, but I think they'll be knocking on that door or in that realm here for the next 5 to 6 years.
Music to your ears, Gary. How about that?
Well, the one thing I would add to that is Rob was spot on, is, and that's with any team, including my own Cowboys. If your team has won a championship, you've got some breaks along the way that season. whether it's staying injury-free, whether it's just the ball bouncing a certain way in the game, you know, if a call that wasn't made, whatever it is, we've seen that. And that's what – so you have to have all of the components that Rob and I have just spoke about, but you also have some luck in mixed in with all of that. And if you do that, then you can win a championship. And there hasn't been one out there, one championship team out there that I have seen in all the football that I've watched that hasn't had some of those breaks in that championship run, that championship season along the way. So lots of things have to fall into place for every team.
Good stuff. Let's talk about the NFC North, and this is interesting. So we have the next topic talking about shocking the Detroit Lions, and are they the favorites in the NFC North? And this is a wow. If you would have told me a couple months that we're talking about the Detroit Lions, this is crazy. But looking at the division right now, you know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. I'm never a fan of Kirk Cousins, even though the Vikings had a really good season last year and it's tough. They were 13-4. So it's interesting from that perspective too, but don't trust Kirk Cousins. You're dealing with an unknown with Jordan Love, you know, after getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. And then we talk about the Chicago Bears. Obviously Justin Fields is up and coming, but you know, that roster is still getting added to. They were 3-13 last year. So it could be feasible that the Lions are positioned, and we talked about how great their draft was. So what say you, Rob? I mean, are they in the position to actually contend for the title or the first place in the NFC North?
Yeah, as of May 23rd, today, I'm picking the Lions to win that division. Do I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl? No, I still like the Eagles. Like the Eagles, the Cowboys, the 49ers, and you can almost put the Seahawks in that realm too. It's possibly been a contender if Geno Smith has another year like the way he had last year too. So I think they can win their division, absolutely. I think they're the favorites to win their division. You got to like what Dan Campbell's doing. I like the Vikings as the number two team in that division. I think it's going to be a tight race, though. I think it's going to be a tight race. Could come down in the last couple of weeks of the season between Detroit and Minnesota, but I think Detroit leaps them. I got Green Bay in the number three spot, and I still got the Bears bringing up the rear, even though they've made some moves and maybe expecting another, you know, a year for growth for Justin Fields at the quarterback position, too. But I like Detroit going into the season. And, you know, you talk about Kirk Cousins, but hey, Jared Goff, you know, what is he going to show? I know he took the Rams to the Super Bowl, but now this team has got themselves Amon St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. They got some weapons on the offensive side of the football, and man, they've been loading up with some defensive players too.
Yeah, Jack Campbell, Brian Branch, we got to him, Hendon Hooker, they drafted him, so they made some interesting picks too. So yeah, we're not talking junk about them at all. We're actually looking at the, you're like, man, Lions should definitely not be slept on too, obviously I know I make fun of Kirk Cousins too. That's just me. I'm not a fan, and I'm going with the Vikings fans that just hate Kirk Cousins too. But you know, it's one of those situations too. If you're the Lions, it's kind of like the bum fight, as JQ said, between Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins, right? It's not like you're like, yay, my quarterback is awesome, right? Go ahead, Gary.
I picked the Lions to win the division. I have the same order, but I went a little step further. I picked their wins and losses. And I had the Lions winning the division with a 10-7 record. I had Minnesota in second place at 9-8. And I have the Packers in the third spot, but it's going to be a battle between the Packers and the Bears. But I have the Packers in the third spot at 7-10. And the Bears at 6-11 in the division.
Good stuff.
But it wouldn't surprise me if one of those two teams or both of those two teams in the back end of that division win less games than that. Win four, you know, three, four, or five games. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I still think Green Bay is a sleeper. Something about Matt LaFleur just being excited about Aaron Rodgers leaving. I think it just gave him a second win when it comes to coaching. And even though he's got Jordan Love, who's still somewhat unproven, I think he's just excited to have a QB that's going to be with the team all offseason and OTAs. He knows he's going into the season as a starter. I'm not picking him to go to the playoffs, but I am picking him as a sleeper team this year.
The Packers as a sleeper team? I'm picking them as a sleeper team as well, but not how you're picking them. I'm picking them, they're going to be going to sleep on the field, and they're not going to get much out of Love.
I have to disagree slightly, Gary, only because, you know, Matt LaFleur comes from the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, and they really have a strong
right.
game. Good.
I'm glad you brought that up with Shanahan. You know, he's a fantastic regular season coach. Yes, he is.
True.
But the big games.
True. The
same
thing with
Moore,
actually. I mean, they've gone to the championship game a few times, and they come up empty.
So fuckered up. But I am saying that a running game is a quarterback's best friend. So if you can, have a strong running game, run off a play action, then you're putting yourself in position to be successful. Now, obviously, you got to talk about the defense for the Green Bay Packers. But I could see that, as Rob said, I could see them as a sleeper. Because Jordan Love is at least willing to be there and get some training in for the whole offseason. So we don't really know what we're looking at with the Packers and Jordan Love, you know. But if you surround him with a solid running game and you give him some weapons, like you said, we just don't know how they're going to play out. But I can see them as a sleeper and finishing third, as Rob said too. But just, you know, you never know, especially – if Jared Goff craps the bed or something like that, for sure, man, because, you know, it's an interesting division.
I don't think he's going to, not with the level of talent he's got around him.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And I think Christian, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun on one of our topics, but I got Christian Watson as one of the possible five breakout players next year, too, for the Packers.
Nice.
He started to see it toward the end of the season last year. He's got the size and speed. I got him down as one of my top five breakout players next season.
Nice. All right. Good deal. Hey, like I said, this is the fun part of the show, and we're definitely in the off season here, getting ready for OTAs, and since I've started obviously right now, but that's the fun part, right? We're not quite sure what's going to happen. We all have these interesting expectations, and whenever we go back and listen to the show, we'll talk about, man, remember how we were thinking the Packers were sleeper? Who knows what's going to happen? All right, let's talk about some NFC South predictions, and this is, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this too, Gary. I know me and Rob will start off, and I'm pretty confident that me and Rob may have a different first-place team. We'll see from this perspective, and the homer pick in me is only being optimistic here, and the optimistic side, surprise, Saints, no, not at all. It's the Falcons number one, only because I am excited about the continuity of what Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot have been doing. I know, America, you guys may not care. Naj is known here to back me up. I'm actually really, really happy with the offseason that the Falcons have done, and they're pretty smart. So from my perspective, whenever they got players, they built depth. And if you think about it, they have Desmond Ridder, and they signed Tyler Heineke. So they got a good player, the player they think, and they got like a player that's already been in the league. And at each position, they have somebody in the same thing. So they signed Jesse Bates. Obviously, you know, Jalen Hawkins was last year, but they got him to kind of back up if anything goes wrong. They got a guy that can, a veteran, that can do some things. They got a rookie and a veteran in all things. Obviously, we signed Clark Phillips III. Love that pick. We ended up signing Trey Flowers. We ended up signing Mike Hughes. So you got a veteran there just in case that rookie doesn't do well. So in every single position, I think, we have the veteran that kind of has a young player too, so they kind of have this interesting dichotomy of they've got depth across the place, but they also have a situation where somebody falters, they have depth to kind of back that up. So that's the reason why I got the Falcons on number one. Obviously, we've got the Saints going number two, Rob. We're not sure what's going to happen with Derek Carr. But, like I said, the Saints are obviously a threat, and that defense is always a challenge for us. So it could easily be a flip between one or two, right? But we don't know, right? Dennis Allen's kind of I think Robbie may have a great incomplete for season number one for him, but we'll see about how it plays out. Number third, I got the Panthers. Panthers are a solid team. Very surprised that, you know, obviously with they let go of Steve Wilks. You know, Frank Wright is an offensive-minded coach. We talked about it earlier with what happened with the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. So having an offensive-minded coach is really going to help Bryce Young. Again, he's just going to have his rookie challenges. And then we're going to end it with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is probably one of the top and the worst teams, if you will, too, because who's the quarterback? Is it Kyler Trask? I don't know who the quarterback is. They're imploding. It's just going to be a tough season for Tampa Bay, and that's kind of how you go from, like, worst to first, and they're just going to, like, fall off the face. So that's what I've got for my NFC South prediction.
Yeah. You know, we look at this division right now, like, tell you what, when the Saints signed Derek Carr back in February, you know, I think just about every prognosticator out there said, hey, the NFC South is going to be the Saints division, including me, because everyone thought, hey, he's by far going to be the best quarterback in the division to go along with a top five defense that the Saints had in the last season. But I will say this. I don't think this is a cakewalk division for the Saints at all. I think it's going to be an extremely tight three-team race. I will say when the Saints signed Carr back in February, I thought I was the same way like all the other prognosticators that looked like this is going to be the Saints division to win. But I really like what Atlanta and Carolina has done this offseason. And so I really think it's really – I could see any one of those three teams winning this division. I really can, based on what all three teams have done this offseason. I'm still going to give the Saints a slight edge here. I think the Saints are a 10-7 or 11-6 team going into the season. They, on paper right now, I have the best quarterback in the division. They got some depth at the running back position now. Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller. You know, obviously two of the brightest young receivers in the league right now, Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. I'm not even counting Michael Thomas. He hadn't played in 3 years. If we get anything out of him, I'll count that as lame, yeah. So I'm not going to even count, you know, Michael Thomas in the mix. Still have one of the better offensive lines. And then when you look at the defense, the secondary is probably one of the best secondaries in the league. The Saints are four deep at the cornerback position. Solid secondary, and that's why they were number two in the league against the pass last year. And so a lot of that's coming back. So if Dennis Allen can keep that defense intact. Now, the Saints' run defense was hurting toward the end of the season. They played the pass extremely well, rushing the passer, the secondary. The Saints got rid of all their defensive tackles to say, hey, you guys cannot stop the run at the end of your season. Onyemata, goodbye. Shy Tuttle, goodbye. The Saints got rid of all of those guys and brought in a whole new group of defensive tackles because the group that we had could not stop the run at the end of the season. And Andre, you saw that in the Falcons game. Even though the Saints won that game at the end of the year, we couldn't stop the Falcons from running the ball in that game. Our defensive tackles were awful in that game and toward the end of the season. So, they went out and got, you know, Kalen Saunders, Nathan Shepard. They drafted Brian Versee, brought in Malcolm Roach. So they got a whole new group of defensive tackles. That was a major focus point for the Saints this offseason. So I like them at somewhere around 10-7, 11-6. I got the Falcons at the number two spot in the division. And I think the NFL is going to regret not putting the Falcons on prime time this year. And I'm saying that, and I don't like the Falcons. When you look at, you know, when you look at the Falcons' depth chart right now, you look at their running backs, you know, Bijan Robinson, Al Greer, and Patterson. I mean, so you look at their 1-2-3 punch at the running back position. And Chuck and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, and there's Jonnu Smith can come back to the way he did a few years ago. So they have a really good offensive line too, And so offensively,
Miller. Yeah.
If Desmond Ridder could be a middle of the pack quarterback, this team could be scary offensively. I don't think they're going to be an elite defensive team. I think they'll be better defensively. So I think if they could be somewhere around the middle of the pack defensively, this is going to be competitive team. So I could see the Falcons being somewhere between 8 and 9 to a 10 and 7 ball club this season. And then I got Carolina number 3. Obviously, Bryce Young, I think he's going to be a starter day one. I don't see Andy Dalton being that starter day one. So I think Bryce Young.
Red Rocket.
Then when you look at the rest of this Carolina roster, Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard at the running back position.
Thielen.
They went out and got some veteran receivers who may not be as good as they once were. They also drafted Jonathan Mingo in the second round. The offensive line, I tell you, the Saints, Falcons, and the Panthers all have really good offensive lines. And the Panthers are really good defensively. When you look at Joe Horn's son at the cornerback position, Brian Burns. The same thing here. It's just a matter of how much they're going to get out of the rookie quarterback, and that's the only reason I'm putting them number 3. The rest of their roster is stacked. I mean, I don't think they have the skill position players that the Saints and the Falcons have, but they probably have some more elite defensive players than what the Saints and Falcons have. But they may not have the overall defensive talent that the Saints have. But Brian Burns and Horn, they're some pretty elite players. And, of course, they got Tampa last.
Well, I was listening to both of you. The NFC South is definitely not the class of the NFC like it has been in the past. For many years, with the Falcons back in the day with Matt Ryan and the Saints with Drew Brees, those teams are gone. What you have left is what we have now. But I did the same thing with this division. I picked the teams, I picked their records, and I picked them in order. And I have Atlanta winning the division with a 10-7 record. And it was close between them and the Saints. I have the Saints at 8-9. Those two teams, it could flip-flop either way. Carolina is definitely a step back, as you said, Rob, with the skill position. I have them at 7-10. And I have the Bucks. A generous 4-13 record with the Bucks. So I've got Atlanta at 10-7, New Orleans at 9-8, and I've got the Carolina at 7-10. Bucks, who cares about the Bucks?
That's pretty good. I mean, like I said, I think we've all had compelling arguments, and like I said, I think there's a lot of uncertainty, like we talked about, with some things with the NFC North too. So we're kind of going back and forth and stuff. I know we have an easier schedule this year for the Falcons, so we're hoping for 10-7 mark is kind of like what we're looking at too. But we'll see. I mean, you never know with the Saints. Like I said, everyone has loved the Saints and Derek Carr and whatever, and Desmond Ridder is an unknown for sure. So we'll see what plays out. But I think we have enough talent to see. And I'd even mention Bijan whenever we were going over the stuff too. But, yeah, that's a great pickup too, man. So we're excited about that. Let's keep this moving here. Man, oh, man, I left Naj out, man. I apologize. Naj, hold on, he's joining. Naj, I'm so sorry, my guy. Can you hear me?
Oh, it's all good, man. What's going on, y'all?
Oh, man.
What's going on, man?
Too long. I just saw you popped on. Did you hear our little predictions there? You came in just in time for the NFC South kind of predictions and whatnot. Did you hear all that?
Yeah, I heard the tail end of it. So, if you're ready to go to the next one, I'm good, man. You know what I mean? I ain't got nothing good for the NFC South.
you don't have any predictions as far as the top tier in this, or no? You want to skip over that?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I can do that easy. New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa. That's that. I guess
that's
how I would pick it. And what'd you say?
I said in that order.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm going in that order. I think Derek Carr is good enough to get them a couple of wins. He's also going to have some terrible losses that let Saints fans understand there's a ceiling on that, and they're going to run him out of town, I'm sure, in a few years. But he'll be good enough to be the, you know, the class of that division. Desmond Ridder, that's an unknown. Like, I don't know if he's an NFL player. And what you got, the carcass of Baker Mayfield in Tampa with Kyle Trask? Man, come on, man. That's not serious. So, yeah, man, that's – I guess that's
what I'm at. Good stuff. You got 50 minutes here. Again, Naj, you're supposed to come in and come with the Falcons up one, but that's all good. I appreciate you being very objective, man. I'm not mad at that at all because we were talking.
Lower
it could be flip-flopping, but anyway.
Andre. Lower expectations,
I got
Andre.
I got,
don't
be
disappointed.
Yeah,
I
was very objective with the Falcons, too. I said, hey, they can't be scary if Desmond Ridder is the middle-of-the-pack quarterback because they got talent. There's no question. And they have a good offensive line. There's no doubt about it.
Interesting. I got you. I see the little reverse psychology.
I think the Saints may be slightly better, as we talked about.
It's all good. Everyone loves the Saints, man, so we got to prove it, man. We've been pretty bad, and we don't have any primetime games, so it's all good. We're gonna play the fly to the radar card, too, and get the no respect, but it's all good. All right. This is interesting. We're going to talk about the five worst teams in the NFL, I'm going to kind of fly through this, but I want to get some time to get everyone's thoughts in because we're kind of getting close to the hour. Number one, I've got the Cardinals. We talked about the quarterback situation. We don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Murray. The quarterbacks are what? Driscoll, McCoy, David Blau, somebody else. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, even if they had a solid enough team to have at least a quarterback come in there, but we don't know what's happening to the Cardinals. Number two, I've got the carcass of the Los Angeles Rams because, again, same situation, what's going on with Matt Stafford? Is he hurt? Is his elbow going? I mean, you talk about a team that sold all their – cashed all their chips into when the Super Bowl, and then they just have gone downhill. Number three, I've got the Tampa Bay Bucks, and we talked about that. You said that, again, with who's the quarterback. And you talked about just the drop-off from that. Four, I've got the Indianapolis Colts, only because, again, we're not sure what Anthony Richardson's going to bring to the table. You were expecting them to be a lot better with Jonathan Taylor. They have a lot of talent, but what the hell? You just thought they needed a situation for quarterback, but I think the young quarterback is not going to be able to sustain and get them to the next level just yet. And number five, this is pretty interesting. I had two that I was thinking of, and everyone that I was looking at picked the Texans. I think the Texans got really talented with Anderson, and they weren't, you know, they weren't as bad as we were thinking with Davis Mills, but obviously they got to their Stroud. And that's a toss-up between them and the Raiders because I just, you know, I'm looking at the Raiders like, what the hell? You know, you talk about a team that's imploding too, but that's what I've got from my five worst NFL teams. Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts.
Yeah, I had the Arizona Cardinals as being the worst team because it looks like Kyler Murray is going to be out the entire season, and they may have Gary Schaefer playing quarterback for them as well. So
he could win them a couple of games.
There it is.
215 not going to cut it. So I'm going to say For that reason alone, I think Arizona's got a strong chance to not only be one of the five worst teams, but be the absolute worst team in the league on next season. And Andre, you covered a lot of the other ones, Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, Trask. Now, Tampa still got a good defense, though, but they don't have a lot of depth in the secondary, though. That could be concerning in a passing league, too. So I got Tampa Bay at the number two spot. And number three, I struggle with this one. It was the Washington Commanders. And the only reason I struggle with it is because they have some talent on their roster, but Sam Howell at the quarterback position. So that's the only reason I have him in that spot, but they do have a lot of talent on their roster. And then I have the Colts, Anthony Richardson,
I think, has a chance to be a really good player in this league. I just don't think it's going to be year one. So I think they're going to struggle in year one. And then the last but not least, it's been a toss-up for me between Houston and Chicago on those two spots. So it's been a toss-up for me there. But I'm going to, you know, I'm going to say 5A Houston, 5B Chicago.
I thought about them too.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to go through mine real quick, and I'll go through a couple of honorable mentions. Arizona's going to be the dumpster fire we know they're going to be. I'm picking the second worst team is Tampa Bay. The third worst team, I think, is going to be the Bears. Fourth worst team is the Texans. Fifth is the Colts, with honorable mentions to Washington and possibly even Denver.
Wow. There it is.
Denver?
Possibly even Denver.
Wow. Now, I think Sean Payton is going to be a good influence in Denver. I don't know if they're going to. That's a tough division, though, when you talk about the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Well, it's a tough division. And if Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson of last year, Sean Payton's no miracle worker. He's a phenomenal coach. I wish he were our coach, but he's not out there throwing the passes. But he'd do a better job than Russell did last year.
He's a Helen Keller, huh?
I think he's going to be a ball control offense, believe it or not. He's going to be they're going to turn Russell Wilson into a dink and dunk Drew Brees, like toward Drew's, into Drew's career. But they're going to run the football. You know, he beefed up that offensive line. He saw a free agency in Denver went after the free agency market and offensive line. Yeah, they're going to run the football. They're going to dink and dunk you. And they're going to play good defense.
And that's why Washington and Denver were honorable mentions, because I do believe in Peyton. I think he's an excellent coach. So, but he's got his hands full, unless all of a sudden he's made, you know, Russell Wilson the Russell Wilson of 5 years ago somehow. Somehow, if he's turned back the clock, because even with those little dink and dunk throws, those weren't even very good throws for him last year.
There it is. What you got, Naj? Finish up strong.
I mean, I think we're all picking out of the same pot, basically. So, Arizona, Washington, Houston, Tampa. I don't really have any dark horse to throw out there. I think everybody's kind of named all the really bad ones. I'm less down on Indianapolis, and I'm less down on Chicago, though. I think they're going to have surprising years. Now, surprising doesn't mean playoffs, but I think they're going to have surprising years.
Yeah, it's funny because you said honorable mention. I did have the Commanders on there too, and then I had, you know, the Bears. But it's just tough because, you know, like I said, you got to look at schedules and whatnot too. But, I still think the Raiders are dumpster fire. So, obviously, they got Garoppolo, but, you know, we still don't know what the hell is happening over there too. But that's just a fun thing to pick against too. But we all have our thoughts and little things like that. Rob, I guess we got about 7 minutes left, and we can talk about some NFL players that you think are going to have a breakout season. And hopefully, you know, obviously the Heat lost to the Celtics tonight, and then I know we kind of get those last couple topics too. But go into those breakout players, and we're getting close to the end of this end of the show. So go ahead.
Well, I know I kind of teased the one already. Christian Watson.
You'll take some time for that.
Christian Watson, the wide receiver of Green Bay. We saw him start to come on at the end of the year. I kind of already teased that one. N'Kobe Dean, linebacker from Philadelphia. We saw him on that championship defense with Georgia Bulldogs. He was a reserve linebacker for the Eagles last year. The Eagles got rid of a couple of their starting linebackers. So I think he's going to step in and have a major impact on that defense for Philadelphia here. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker with the Cleveland Browns. I think you started to see him come on at 77 tackles down the stretch last year. I think he's going to be even better going into this season here. So he'll be a guy to watch. Of course, I got to have one of my Saints players on the list, Peyton Turner. defensive end for the Saints, 6'6", athletic, long arms. Saw him block that field goal in the first game of the season to seal the victory over the Falcons. This guy with tremendous athlete. They just got to keep him healthy on the field. So I think this is the year for them. They got rid of Davenport and he signed with the Vikings. So it's going to open the door for him to be a full-time starter. And then last but not least, Brian Robinson, running back, Washington Commanders. If he can stay healthy this season, I think he'll have a breakout season for the Commanders as well.
Nice. Good enough. Good enough. Naj, anything to add to that?
Yeah, for breakout, I'm going the most hated, one of the most hated guys in the league, Deshaun Watson. I think he's going to really surprise people coming back into form next year. People are really down on him. Yeah, I think there could be something there. And then, of course, you know, I just alluded to this with the Chicago pick, but Justin Fields is the real deal. I understand a lot of people aren't sold on him, but he has can win a game by his self-ability. That game-breaking ability that he has, we're going to see a couple of games next year. There's no surprise, people. Looks like Big Vic. So I just throw those two in there.
Okay.
Nice.
Those are good.
Deshaun Watson for sure. I think he's going to shake up his rust and have a big year this year. I think Cleveland has got a chance to contend in that division. I really do.
Wow. Good stuff. All right, Gary, we'll hit the new topic here. LeBron and his, you know, we talk about the sweep of the Nuggets for the Lakers, first trip ever to the NBA final, And I don't think LeBron's going to retire. He's just trying to earn a couple of things. But, Gary, it's on you, my guy. Talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. I just wrote bullshit under that. you know, LeBron, as good as he is, as great as he has been, not only for the league, but also I'll give him the props for social injustices and everything that he's done for the league has been phenomenal. But for him to go out and retire after being swept, I don't see that happening at all. You know, some of the things that he's resorted to is, you know, this flopping. We used to see that with, you know, Bill Laimbeer back in the day or whatever. And some of these flops that I was watching on highlights on YouTube and whatnot were just phenomenal throughout the year, a year of LeBron's flops. And this game that he played against Denver, the one thing that I can say about that is this is the first time he wasn't the best player on the court in a long, long time, maybe ever.
Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk more LeBron on our OT portion. We're ending the live portion of our show on tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports on 12th Man. Next week, gentlemen, I'm going to be off. So I don't know if you guys want to continue or wait a week. I didn't get a chance to share that with you. So we'll get back to you, listeners, if we're going to have a show on next week or if we're going to be returning in 2 weeks. They're celebrating the fact that I'm going to be off.
Oh, we're really going to miss you, you know, next week. just wanted you to know that.
Good night, gentlemen. Y'all want to listen to the OT portion of the show, click on the same link on tomorrow, the rest of the week. We're going to continue our conversation about LeBron and the NBA playoffs. Good night, people.
Well, the only thing I would continue with.
Good afternoon. Good.
Yeah. The only thing I would continue with LeBron is, you know, we saw the Joker just do his thing, you know. And, boy, that guy was just, he's hungry for a championship. And whoever he faces, which, of course, is going to be the Heat, they're going to have their hands full with him.
Yeah.
But as far as LeBron goes, I don't remember a series in a long, long time where he just wasn't the best player on the court. And in this series, he wasn't the best player on the court. And Father Time catches up with everybody. And LeBron had a phenomenal series. You know, he's a, you know, for his age and everything, he's just, he's a freak of an athlete.
Yeah.
And he's frustrating because he comes to, you know, Atlanta or New Orleans or Portland, and he puts an ass-whipping on our teams, and he puts that team on his back in certain scenarios and these sort of things. And so we've loved to hate him along the way, but we also have to love and respect the fact that in his generation, he's the greatest in his generation. But he didn't have to go through the ass-kickings every day like some of those players in the 80s and early 90s did, where they literally got, you know, beat up on your way to the basket. You know, in this, basketball is different. And LeBron is a freak of nature. He's a great athlete. He takes good care of himself. He lifts his teammates up. He lifts the community up. So all of those things are fantastic. But with that said, as much as I hate the Lakers, and I hate LeBron because he's on the Lakers, I would be overwhelmed with joy if next year he became a Blazer. I would, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking at that, and, you know, I actually think LeBron should retire right now, and I don't think he will. I agree with you all. But what else does the guy have to prove? He's played in 20 seasons.
Six.
What's that, Dre?
Six championships. Nah, that's what he's trying to get for. Go ahead,
though. He's played 20 seasons. He's won 4 championships. He's been to, 12 conference finals? I think he's been to, 8 or 10 finals. I mean, how many years this guy's played deep into the playoffs? The wear and tear on his body, and Gary mentioned, you know, he takes good care of his body. For him to be doing what he's doing at 38 years old is flat out insane what he's been able to do.
Yeah.
I think I sent you guys this picture where they compare LeBron at 38 to other greats at 38, and no other great even came close to comparing. And look at LeBron, close to 30 points a game, 8 rebounds, 7 assists on 50% shooting. Kareem at 38, lost in the Western Conference Finals as well, 23 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 56.4% shooting. Wow, that's got to hook with something serious, even at 38 years old. Michael Jordan at 38, 23 points a game, 5.7 rebounds, 5.2 assists, only 41.6% shooting. Hakeem Olajuwon. And Jordan didn't even make the playoffs at 38, so let's even go back to that.
Well, he was
Hakeem
also
Olajuwon
with, oh, my God.
Hakeem Olajuwon at 38 didn't even make the playoffs. 12 points a game, 7.4 rebounds, 1.2 assists on 50% shooting. Shaq at 38, lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals, only played 2 games, 9 points a game, 4.8 rebounds, not even an assist, 66.7%. Tim Duncan at 38, lost in the first round of the playoffs, 14 points a game, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 51% shoot. Kobe Bryant at 38, retired. Larry Bird at 38, retired. Magic Johnson at 38, retired. I think we can go on and on here. So what he's been able to do, there's nothing else for LeBron to prove. He's the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. In my book, I think he should go out before he start looking worse. It's a good time to go out. Even after getting swept, I don't think he has anything to be ashamed of.
I'm going to let Naj do this. Go ahead, Naj.
Yeah, because, look, the problem with him retiring is how well he plays. Because if you're an all-time great, of course, you can convince yourself, hey, if I just do this and we tweak this, then, you know, I get another bite at the apple. So I don't think he's going to retire either. But last night, man, that showed, man. He said, okay, I'm going to go out on my shield tonight. I'm gonna pull out everything I got in this old creaky body and go to work. And that's what he did, man. Like, salute to that dude. People are going to miss him when he's gone, man, because they didn't appreciate him enough because he just became this lightning rod that everybody could, you know, attack all the time and talk good or bad about. But, you know, you make a direct comparison with Jordan, so the conversation yep. got a little ugly. But think about it. He had no rivals. His rivals were groups, the Pistons group first, then the Celtics group. You see what I'm saying? That Spurs group, the Golden State group.
The Warriors.
Like that, yeah. Those were his rivals. It was never a 1v1 situation with him. He's one of the best to ever do it, and it was good to see last night. Like him going out the way that he did on a clearly undermanned team that with a lot of guys who underperformed, but he always showed up. And the way he changed basketball from the standpoint of, wait a minute, when I'm in my prime, I'm actually the one who has the leverage, not ownership. And because of that, he's
yeah.
able to move to different organizations and still succeed at the highest level. And, you know,
yeah.
people will say,
yeah.
well, he played when the East was down. That's why he went to 8 straight finals. And I'm like, okay, if the East was down.
You saw some of those teams
dominate.
He took to the finals. He took the team
right, but
to
that's
the finals who was second
best
player
did,
was
though.
Jrue Nagalka.
Right, but the point
is, come on.
No, big fact. But the point is, if it is down, that means you dominate. And that's what he did. Going 8 straight times, I'll probably never see that again, man, because it's really tough to play that amount of basketball and the wear and tear it puts on you to come back next year with a clean slate and still do it. So, yeah, man, shout out to LBJ. Like, I knew they were going to lose this series. Like, it was obvious to me they're just too slow.
I think they'll make it this far in the playoffs.
No,
yeah.
It was a miracle for them to get that far.
And
the last thing, the flopping is an officiating problem, not a player problem. The incentives to flop are there. If the officials aren't calling the game correctly and you can get one over on them, you take advantage of it. It's like defensive player, PI. Like, if you can take advantage, then you do it. It's up to the officials to call things correctly and stop people from flopping. But as long as they're getting the calls, not only will their coach tell them to do it, but they're going to be pissed off at you in the film room if there was an opportunity for you to take one of those fake charges or whatever and don't do it. They're looking at you like you messed up. You blew an assignment. So, Scott Foster and them boys, man, that's who you got to look at for flopping.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this too. I still don't quite understand why LeBron is so hated. And, you know, when you look at what he's been able to accomplish on the court, I know things have not been set up for him to win as many championships as Jordan, the way things were set up for Jordan. But when you look at what he's done,
he set himself up. What do you mean by that?
He's done more off the court than Jordan has. And, I think LeBron is the second best player of all time. I don't put him in Jordan's league yet. And by any stretch of imagination, but I still just don't understand the hate. Then when you look at some of the things he's been able to accomplish, a lot of things he's accomplished that Jordan has not accomplished. He's the only player in NBA history to lead the NBA Finals twice, not once, and most points in the Finals, most rebounds in the Finals, and most assists in the Finals. Magic Johnson didn't do that. Michael Jordan didn't do that. Oscar Robinson didn't do that. LeBron did it twice. And he's the only player in NBA history to have the most points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks in one final. And,
nor has he had a game-winning shot in the finals. That's a fact, too.
Yeah. Well, see, that's
okay.
The hater.
So,
the hater
and
is positive.
No, I mean,
but he had a game-winning block shot in the finals.
Just a second. As far as him not, you know, being able – he picked his teams. He picked his teams when he went to Miami. He picked his teams when he went to L.A. So how can you say, well, he's, you know, Jordan State with one team, came back with one team. He played with.
But Jordan's team was set up for success. LeBron ever had
Jordan
a
teams.
Good
was,
yeah.
Jordan teams was set up with Scottie Pippen, okay, That was his big all-star, multi-year all-star. If you look at LeBron, he played in each of those teams, he played with 15 all-stars along the way.
Yeah.
The Bulls team was built for success.
Well, hold on, Gary, because we got to get there first. So Dan Gilbert's incompetence was the start of that. Remember, they said we're waiting on a big splash move, trade deadline. Maybe we're getting your Stoudemire from Phoenix. Nope, you're getting Antoine Jameson. Like, it was a really badly run franchise that was terrible, so he had to put it on his own shoulders. I would say Mike and Steph had the benefit of, even though Mike hated Jerry Krause and Reinsdorf, they managed everything well. Those were well-put-together rosters that were championship-ready. Mike just had to lead them. Same thing for Steph. Like, Steph can criticize the Golden State front office this year because they let Steph down this year. But the rest of Steph's career, all A's everywhere. Like, everything was there for him not to leave. So you got to throw that in there with the LeBron thing.
There was no reason for Jordan to ever need to leave. He had Pippen. He had Phil Jackson. They went out and got players for him. And he was in Chicago, a major U.S. market. LeBron was playing in Cleveland. You couldn't attract players to come to Cleveland and mistake by the lake. It's no
Rob,
comparison.
See, but this is the thing.
That's right. There is no comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Ron left, too. But like you said, I mean, we're going to – This is a tough conversation, right? Because everyone has passionate opinions about if LeBron is hated. And whenever Gary gave that stat, Rob, it was a fact. He wasn't hating. He was like saying, yeah, he hasn't hit a game-winning shot. But everything else was great. You know?
You don't
find
out the fact that he got a game-winning block shot.
He had a chance to have a game-time shot last night. Or the night before last, whatever it was.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
how he drilled Detroit 40-some points to beat Detroit in Game 6 in Detroit, and how he went to Boston and scored almost 50 points to beat Boston almost single-handedly to go to the NBA Finals. I mean,
I think on the call, I would say, this is if I'm wrong, I don't think it was LeBron's haters, especially for me. Maybe for me, I'm talking – so I'm not a hater on LeBron. I mean, I'm in the class of – Jordan's the best player, like, you know, just from saw him.
And I'm still there, too.
I agree
that Jordan is the best player, but I just don't agree with the LeBron hate. And that's what I don't like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not a LeBron hater either. I would love him if he was on our team. You hate the Lakers, he's on the Lakers. When he was on Miami and they came to Portland and beat us, I hated that. You want your team to win. But as far as LeBron as a person, LeBron as a basketball player, you can look at all of what he's done, and you're right. There's a hell of a lot of greatness in that guy. Hell of a lot. You know, so my hat's off to him. Just like he said, his hat was off to the Joker when, you know, he hit a couple of those fadeaway, you know, three-pointers, you know, in his press conference after the game. He said, this is what I do, and he took his hat off. I take my hat off. If he left here, he would have no shame. Being in 10 finals in a 20-year career is phenomenal. When we've got teams that we're rooting for that, you know, he's got more finals appearances, or even just chips that we've got finals appearances, you know. So, I mean, he's done his thing. But, yeah, he's stirred up, and he's made – a lot of these teams. He made his big three in Miami. He's made his team in L.A. You know, he went there and this, hey, bring these guys on. Bring AD, you know, pull him away from, you know, your team, Rob. Let's make him a champion. And we did.
And that's a deal you made 10 times
out
of 10. my
there
point
it is. The only thing – no, you're good, Naj. I appreciate the feedback. The only thing I'll say that, and I know we're going to wrap this up, about LeBron is that I'm always going to compare the teams of Jordan's era versus the teams now because I think in Jordan's era, like you said, Gary, it was a lot harder because whenever you had a book called the Jordan Rules and, if, you know, whenever time Jordan comes in lane, we're going to hit him, we're going to pull him, you know, we're going to like – they were playing dirty. And Jordan could have been like, you know what, I'm going to stay out here and shoot threes. He was like – he welcomed the challenge. He basically knew I have to bulk up. Mentally, I have to be physically strong. I have to be mentally strong to take on all the punishment that he took. There was no load management back in those days. So you're playing 82 games unless you just couldn't play. So it's a totally different situation that I respect what Jordan did. And you had some really great teams. A lot of those teams averaged 60 wins in the season. So it wasn't like you're getting a 40-win, 30-win team. All these teams were teams. They were great teams. You had a second unit, first unit. You know they were coming to kind of – how do we kind of manipulate this piece to get better? We talked about the roster. I know, Rob, you're going to keep talking about this. You had a Horace Grant. You had a freaking Bill Weddington. You had Tony Kukoc. You had a freaking Luke Longley. You had all these different pieces, and Jordan was still able to take that team and take them to the next level. I mean, hell, Jim Paxson, Steve Kerr, all these players, like you said, like Gary said, you were able to kind of manipulate. And, yes, you had Phil Jackson, but you had to have Jordan to put that together. You even took a crazy Dennis Rodman and made some shit with that too. So you have to give Jordan his props. And I'm not shitting on LeBron. I'm just saying this from what, from now. And LeBron could have played back then with Jordan, but just now it's a little tougher because I'm like, man, you know, it's like you're kind of complying. You're crying about fouls and flopping and stuff like that. But I'm still going to respect it. It's not me taking shots. I'm just like, it's just different because, man, just to see what Jordan had to put up with and to overcome get six,
especially with the Pistons in the East.
Yeah. It was a gauntlet, of situations you had to, you know, dial into too. And like I said, the Phoenix team was good. Utah was great back then. I mean, it just crazy. It got held the Blazers. I mean, you had some really good teams back then, and they just kept climbing the mountain each year. They got better and better and better. And I just don't know if that's the situation with again, this is not me knocking LeBron by any means. And I'm just going to wrap it up and I'll let you guys talk comment on that. It is interesting because there's some scuttlebutt.
But I agree with Draymond Green here, though.
What's that?
I agree. And I know JQ and I were talking about that over the last 2 days. I agree with Draymond Green said, though, that Jordan, yes, he probably beat a lot of good teams. But the one thing that LeBron does have over him is that Jordan never beat a team as good as the Golden State Warriors in the finals like LeBron did.
We can agree to disagree with that.
That's
interesting. Yeah,
that's a Golden State Warrior talking about Golden State Warrior stuff.
Would you say
that?
I was going to say
biggest. Each era presents its own challenges. Like, no era is better than any other because you just got different challenges to deal with. But LeBron won just because the Mike-LeBron conversation is going. Like, to me, Mike is better. But the just the fact that he got in that conversation, was able to flip it into that, he got what he wanted in that sense. But just think about this. Chip per luxury tax. Because we all know when LeBron comes to town, what happens? He's getting another all-star level player, and he's getting a whole bunch of vet men guys and lower paid guys because he doesn't want anything young around him when he's trying to win a chip. Now, you go look at the Golden State Warriors who are paying, I want to say, almost $200 million this year in luxury tax because, you know, last year they had to load up to win that chip. And you look across the league at anybody who's won a chip and in comparison to the rosters LeBron had, and you see you won chips for cheaper. And your building was sold out. Go look at, you know, those Cleveland bars and everything else that all of a sudden became viable when he came back in town. And the Miami situation, that was the one where it's like, yeah, it was a super team, but it was so brief because Wade's knees fell apart and then Bosch had the blood clot issue. So even that, you know what I'm saying, fell apart on him, man. So
he's had some
bad luck. Man.
He really has.
Yeah, he really has. But there's so much that people say about that dude that's just untrue. Shout out to the Spurs for turning off the AC in that finals. Like, that was one of the greatest gamesmanship moves ever by Popovich. And then we got to remember this. In this load management era, the old school had load management too. You know what they did? In the third quarter in January, and they were playing a game in Milwaukee on a back-to-back, they slowed it down in the fourth quarter. Amen. We ain't going to push the ball. Y'all don't push the ball. And we'll get our breath together and do what we got to do. So load management used to exist back in the day. It just wasn't called out. And that's why you got the stigma in the 90s of they only play hard in the fourth quarter because guys were, you know, they're trying to manage their bodies. They just had to do it themselves. Now we actually got a system in place to do it.
No, I think that they had like they had a solid second team and a first team. That's kind of like back in those days, because you know, I'm kind of the guy. I'm dating myself. I used to play a game called Lakers versus Celtics, and the same thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is my starting five. This is my backup five. And that was kind of how they balanced load management too. But you know that that's how it was. You know, you're not going to play 48 minutes. You're going to say I'm going to play like good 30 something minutes, but I'm going to give my all. So I think it was a different situation for load management, but. It's not like it is today.
Yeah, but,
I mean,
but remember,
kind of
the
disappointing.
Lakers and Celtics were one of the few teams that could spend money. So back then, they were 1 through 12 deep, but you looked across the league, the other teams weren't like that. But the one thing about the era that I do think the NBA misses on is cities and teams had an identity. And now, because everybody wants to play pace and space and shoot threes up, we don't have that same thing. You go into Cleveland, and the czar, the telestrator, he was trying to play in the low 70s, 80s if he had to. And then you go to Denver, and they're trying to play in the 130s. You know what I mean? That's the one thing that I think is missing to me.
Yeah, yeah. Last thing I'll say, and I'll let Gary, I know Gary, you want to say something too. It's interesting because, you know, Marcy, I love my wife. She woke up this morning, and she was telling me about the thoughts of, you know, the Lakers are looking at trading for Trae Young. That's what she hit me up with this morning I'm like, don't get me started. But it was interesting because, you know, Kyrie and Trey are out there. That's all they're missing is a point guard, right? So we'll see what happens in that scenario too. So that's why I don't think he's retiring. I think he's gonna try for one more, and he's going to get one of those two guys. And then, you know, we'll see what happens next year because I know JQ's on the show, but they made a lot of great moves during the trade deadline, you know, getting, Rui Hachimura, getting Vanderbilt. They had some good situations. And we don't think they're going to get far too. So you got to give them. Austin Reeves has played out of his line. Lonnie Walker is doing some good things. So you're looking at the squad, and you wish, damn it, that, you know, Anthony Davis is not trying to shoot threes all the damn time, but actually getting the lane, get some rebounds and stuff. But I digress. But it really does depend on what they go into the season getting, and each team is going to be different. So, you know, stay on that. What's going to happen with Kyrie? There may be a reunion with him and Kyrie. I don't know if it's going to happen with trades. That would be – I don't know what the hell. But, you know, he's going to try to run it back one more time. And I agree with you, Gary. He didn't want to go out like that. But if he has a spare world tour, he's going to have all kinds of fun stuff. And he's going to be crowned and robed and all that fun stuff, too. But there it is. That's my 5 cents on that.
Hey, Dre, and LeBron is crazy as hell if he trusts his last year in the hands of Kyrie Irving. Like, he's crazy as hell if he does. I hope he knows.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know LeBron is a billionaire. I know he's a billionaire already, but even a billionaire wouldn't leave $100 million on the table. And LeBron is due $100 million next season. So the odds are he's going to come back once he settles down and get over it.
Right.
Good point, guy, man. But you try to go with familiarity, too, man. That's what I'm trying to say. See, I'm with you, Naj. But I just you got to get that one last thing. I'm going to go out strong. Here's all – my guns, all my bullets, I'm going to load everything in and let's see what we got, man. So, it's going to be interesting as we wrap this up, man. So,
But if he does come back next season, I think he should announce that it's going to be his last season. And
Right.
Yeah,
do the farewell tour.
Yeah, do the farewell tour and call it. There's nothing else for him to prove. I mean, if you're chasing Jordan, I mean, just forget about that. I mean, There's nothing to be ashamed of what you've accomplished in your career or what he's accomplished in his career. Like I said, he's done a lot of stuff that even the greatest player, Jordan, hasn't even accomplished. So, I mean, there's nothing else for him to there's nothing else for him to accomplish. When you look at some of the things he's accomplished in the finals, and, I mean, call it a farewell tour and end it before it gets ugly.
Right.
Go ahead, Nash.
Because the young boys are coming for you. Oh, no, just on the last point, the two biggest things this offseason are going to be, okay, Austin Reeves, no matter what, his agent is telling him, like, look, you're getting Jordan Poole money. I'm not so sure everybody's going to be on board with giving him Jordan Poole money, but that's what the market should bear for him, so he better ask for it. And then with Kyrie, the other part about Kyrie is, remember, you have to sign him to either a 4 or 5 year deal. Because his deal was ended. So you got to lock in with Kyrie long term. And I just don't trust that dude, man. I just don't. The talent, of course, we all know. Kyrie's one of the best to ever do it, especially as far as dribbling, but whew, that's tough.
The talent is there. But you're right now. The scary thing is to sign him to a long-term deal. 4 or 5 years, that's a long time with Kyrie. I mean, that's an eternity.
That is an eternity. My last thing, when the World Tour happens, this is what Rob alluded to, if he does go LeBron, who's the next person to take the mantle? I mean, is it Joker? Is it Giannis? Who's the next one? And we don't have to answer this tonight, but that's interesting, right? Because here it is, man. We've been blessed to kind of have a transition, kind of, you know, we've had the Kobe's and LeBron's and, you know, kind of up there, but who's the next is the question.
And wow. That's a really good question, right?
Yeah, Giannis and Joker. I think you said it.
Yeah.
Those are the two next guys.
Or maybe it's this kid that's going to be drafted by the Spurs.
Yeah. Too early to tell. But I think if you're talking about players that's already in the league, I think when Giannis is healthy, he's that guy, right? And unfortunately, you know, he wasn't healthy this year in the playoffs. We didn't get a chance to see it. But when he's healthy, he seems to be that guy.
Yeah. It's tough, man, because
as much as
it
ain't Joel
Jimmy
and Bum,
so underrated. Yeah, it's
well,
like Jimmy Butler
on.
Should
no,
be
no,
right,
too
man.
Far.
with Butler?
No, Embiid. Don't do Joel.
I call him
Joel
and Bum.
Yeah, yeah, Joel and Bum. But yeah, I'm looking at like, is it Tatum? Is it Jimmy? You know, Jimmy Butler's kind of, you know, there. But you know, like it's kind of crazy, right? To look at who's the next, you know, guy, right? You know, because there's just
Butler. It's not Tatum.
I'm just
has the potential, but he's just inconsistent in my opinion.
This is just conversation.
This is
conversation. I'm just saying, right? I'm not trying to stamp him. He's the guy. I'm just trying to spark up some conversation. You are going to miss LeBron when he's gone. They're like, who's going to take that mantle, man? It's tough, man, because it's like, man, it's like we've been spoiled for sure.
Well, we went from
– great player.
We went from, you know, the, you know, Magic Bird to the MJ to the Kobe to the LeBron. And I don't see that level of guy right now. I think it's going to be a giant step down. You know, because LeBron has set the bar high. I don't think anybody's – maybe it's the Joker. I don't know.
As far as star power, it's Steph, but as far as playing ability, it's Joker and Giannis on one tier, and then the second tier is the Tatums and the Lucas of the world who are, you know, coming into their own. And I guess you could put Devin Booker there too. Those guys are coming to their own. And, you know, it's going to take them a few years. But as of right now, I think who's got next, I think it's Giannis and Jokic, man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That could be NBA draft. I tell you, with Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, on paper, those guys look like two future stars. But, you know, they got to come in the league and prove it first.
Yeah. Anyway,
we'll be happy when they just make the playoffs. They got a while to go.
It's a long journey, my guys. Anyway, I wasn't trying to spark any controversy or try to like lessen anything. I was just trying to like say who do we think, because we are kind of seeing the end as a 38-year-old LeBron, and you know that's kind of the sad thing, the end of the era. But it's like who's gonna take that next, you know, torch and kind of keep going, because LeBron has done an amazing job, and I'm not hating. This is me giving kind of retrospective respect to what he's been able to do, man. And he's got one more year. It's like, man, you're going to appreciate that you saw this. So that's all.
Right.
It's all good.
Well, Dre, let's say this. None of us said AD. I think that's real telling. And then the thing with Joel Embiid, that man wanted that MVP so bad, instead of load managing, he tried to play out the end of the regular season to put up numbers so he can get that trophy. And then his body was beat up by the playoffs. So,
yeah.
That's just
yep.
Yeah, that's a good
load management.
Denver did just the opposite, too. If you didn't realize that, Denver was 5-5 in their last 10 games. They were resting their starters to get ready for the playoffs, and it turned out to work. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll
keep
good
it
job,
on,
Joel.
That, guys.
You
like I said,
are you happy?
There it is. You sold your soul for that. But I know we're going to wrap this up. Thank you. We spent a lot of time on the OT. I know we normally jump off a little bit quickly, but, you know, good conversation. We had to get everything in for LeBron. We'll see if JQ wants to talk about this the following week, because we're going to probably take the week off, and then we'll kind of get reset. And we're going to have our own load management, if you will, too. But, gentlemen, it was a pleasure spending a little battle with you tonight, all this talking stuff. Najee, appreciate you calling in. I'll try to get in there a little quicker. I was looking at another stream whenever you popped in, but it's always a pleasure to have you join in. And like I said, be safe, man, especially for Memorial Day, all that good stuff. Gary, we appreciate your advice about trust, living trust, if you will. Man, we do it all. Rob would be happy to know that Hitler is going to be re-signed again. Apparently the owners are going to sign him up for – until 2027, so you got to deal with that crap until a couple more years. But, you know.
That's the same way. Why are you calling me Hitler?
Oh, my gosh. I should probably stop that because they're going to probably get us at some point. But,
you guys saw that. You guys saw that little article where it said, where they asked MJ, reporter asked MJ if he thought the Bulls could beat the Lakers, and he said, yeah, and they said, he said, well, by how much? And he said, well, by only 2 or 3 points, we're all in our 60s.
That was classic.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
That's
that
a mic
classic.
Answer. Yeah, that's definitely a
there
mic
it is.
Answer.
I do. That dude is not repeating anything. Love it. All right, so that's how we end it. Have a great, great evening. Right. We'll see you the following week, and we'll keep the lines of communication open for Texas as well, too. Maybe we should add Naj in there, too. We'll see, Naj, if you want to care about our crazy text. We talk a lot, man, so good stuff, man. So.
Yeah, Naj, join us. See
you. Yeah, throw me in there.
See you guys the following week, man. We'll talk, man.
All right,
gentlemen. Have a good evening.
All right. See you.